Turning your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. This is where we're going to begin. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just happy in Jesus today. Hallelujah. I'm just amazed at what God is doing. We are in the time of harvest. I believe the Northwest is coming awake. There is an awakening happening in the Northwest. Hallelujah. We need some Joshua and we need some Calebs. We need some people that are going to believe. Amen? For the Northwest. We don't need the negative reports. We don't need to dwell on what's broken. We need to look at the one who can fix it. Amen? If God's people will call out to Him. If we will turn from our wicked ways. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. In verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. When we pray, we need to know who we're praying to. Amen? Amen. There are many gods. There's only one true living God, but people have many gods today. And our Father in heaven, holy or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. First priority is that His kingdom would come. How many know that is your priority in life, is to live for Him, for His purposes, to see His kingdom come. Amen. Not the reversal where it's what we get, and then if there's any time left over, we give it to God. No, it is first for His kingdom, for His agenda, and not ours. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what that... In the original, it means from heaven first. In other words, everything, life comes from where? Right, from the Lord. Amen. He's the author of life. So what we do in Christ as a priesthood, as a royal priesthood, is we are given the assignment to call heaven to earth, to pray in this manner, addressing our Father in heaven, prioritizing His kingdom and His purposes, and to call in heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, first as in heaven, then on the earth. And then we can present our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, isn't that what Jesus said? If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you as well. Is that Matthew 6:33? And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Very important. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want us to take a look at verse 13. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. All we have is from Him. We do not possess anything that we didn't receive. Naked we came into this world, amen? And you're going to go out in your birthday suit too. And so everything that we have received that is good, that is wholesome, is from the Lord. There is no boasting about what one has and does. That is of the world. The world boasts itself. The world tries to make itself famous. We are here as ambassadors from heaven representing His kingdom government to make Him famous. To bring Him glory. You cannot give God glory until you first receive glory. You cannot give honor to God unless you first receive honor from God. Has God honored us? Has God blessed us? Can we bless God? Yes, we can bless God because He blessed us. He blesses us so we can become a blessing. He said to Abraham, I will bless you and you will become a blessing. We also, as heirs in that covenant, also receive the blessing of God so we can become a blessing. Yours is the kingdom. Everything begins, amen, with the government of God. The kingdom of God is a government, folks. There is order in His courts. There is structure. There is authority. God has His servants, the angels, amen, at His disposal. If you look at the picture of heaven, everything is in its perfect order. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of order. Yours is the kingdom. He is the king. You have to have a king, right? To have a kingdom. Of the kingdom, God's government, and the power. That's God's enabling, God's ability. God's ability is His power. We receive grace from God. We receive ability. We receive power from God. Amen? It's not of us, it's of Him. It's not from us, it's from Him. Our citizenship in heaven is only made possible because of what He did. Aren't you glad that we are citizens of heaven? Amen. We have come into the kingdom through the blood of Christ, through the covenant in His blood. Yours is the kingdom and the power. We get into trouble, folks, when we want power, we want grace, we want gifts, we want God's ability, but we're not willing to submit ourselves to the order of God's government. When we are unwilling to place ourselves under His authority and under the authorities that God has placed in our lives, if we want to operate in the power of God, you can receive an anointing, you can receive ability from God, but you can be dangerous with that anointing if it's not submitted to His lordship. You'll get into witchcraft, a manipulation. Jesus only did what He saw His Father do. He only spoke what He heard His Father speak. Jesus did not go about doing His own thing. Jesus didn't have His own agenda. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Jesus said in the Great Commission, go and teach all nations, amen? Amen? To observe everything that I taught you. As I have demonstrated, as I have modeled on the earth, that is what you are supposed to do. You are to represent the kingdom government of heaven on the earth as I have done. And when I go away, I will send the Comforter to you. I will give you authority, amen, in my name. You can cast out devils. You can heal the sick. You can cleanse lepers. You can raise the dead. In His name, as we represent Him, we are going in His name, in His stead. But any true ambassador always recognizes the reality of this fact, that they are under orders from Him who sent them, that they are not to be about their own business. Jesus told Mom, when Mary came, said, don't you know we've been looking for you? He said, don't you know that I need to be about my Father's business. He had an assignment, amen? Does anybody here beside me have an assignment? Do you know what your assignment is? Are you in your assignment? It gets quieter as I ask those questions. But that's why we're here, right? We're discovering. We're discovering who we are in Christ. Finding out who I am now as a child of God. So we've got to understand the kingdom government of God. Amen? To operate legitimately in the power of God. All things come from His glory. Are you with me? Glory is God's manifest presence. So you have the kingdom, the government of God. You have all ability, His power. And from what? From the presence of the Lord, His glory. There's a difference, folks, between an anointing and the glory of God. We receive an anointing, amen, in Christ when we receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But then there's something else that takes place when corporately people of God come together to seek Him and to worship Him. That's why it's important that we're in fellowship. That's why it's important that you're with God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Because then there is a release of that glory, and often, independent of anybody's individual anointing, God will begin to perform miracles and sovereignly heal people. Amen?
Amen.
Is that right, Judy? My teacher used to do that to me all the time in school. Isn't that right, Keith? I'm like, Sorry. Oh, Carrie. You blame it on Carrie. Yeah. All right. Bruce, you probably remember this. We had some friends growing up called the St. Jeans. And I think it was Sean got into their car. He was little brother. They had like 8 kids. So little brother got in their car. It was on top of a hill, and he put it in neutral. And he coasted that thing down. I don't know what happened at the end. Did he wreck it? Or
went in the pond.
But I thought about, you know, the analogy. If you put a child behind the wheel of a powerful Mercedes or Maserati or, you know, or anything. Hello, any car, right? If they have not had the proper training, if they have not learned how to operate that powerful equipment, hello, if they haven't understood the rules, the laws that apply, amen, the principles of how to operate safely a motor vehicle, that child behind the wheel can be very dangerous. And sometimes, you know, we're like that. We want to just run right out there and do it, but we're not willing to submit ourselves to the process of being prepared and being equipped by God to do the work. Now, God will give a child an assignment that he's able to handle. But sometimes we get impatient in the process and we try to jump ahead of God. I know that's never happened to you. But I've had that happen to me at least once. Maybe a few more times than that. A sign of maturity is patience. We've got to be mature, but it takes patience to wait on the process. God has a perfect time for everything in your life. You got to know what season you're in. You need to know where you're at right now. You need to know what your temporary assignment is. That means right now. What does God want you to do right now? What do you need to prove yourself in? Now, when we were growing up, my dad taught us how to shoot, you know. And so when I saw that shotgun, man, I was ready to pick that shotgun up and go with it, you know. But it ain't going to happen that way. Not in our household. You start out with a BB gun. You learn how to shoot a BB gun first. Then it went up to a .22, and then it went up to a .25-20, and then it went to a .308, and then I finally got to get the double barrel out. But there's a time, there's a process, there's a method, there are instructions that we need to follow. There is a government of God, amen? There is a king and a kingdom, and we need to understand His ways so that we can properly implement Him in the ministry, or however you want to say it. Release that which God has invested in us. In other words, you may have already what you need because you are complete in Christ, but there is a proper time and place for everything. I'm trying to learn how to listen to His voice. Is anybody here still trying to learn how to hear His voice? A few hands. Okay. I hope you all are. How many know that it just doesn't happen overnight? How many have thought you were hearing God's voice only to find out it wasn't His voice? How many have heard your own voice and said that was God's voice? When it comes to making that purchase, I know God was speaking to me on that one. Sometimes the adversary too, you know. He wants to impersonate God's voice. You got people that are behind bars because God told them to kill somebody. We need to know the voice of our shepherd so that we can receive an instruction. When we receive an instruction, we then need to be faithful in applying what we have in front of us. Amen? Yes. Doing the little thing first, being faithful in little, then he makes us ruler of much. So, kingdom government, we must be under authority. You must remain under God's authority and under the authorities in the earth realm that God has placed you under as well. We are living in great times of lawlessness. People don't want to heed any authority. There are insurrections taking place around the globe, amen? Overthrowing of governments, coups and insurrections and people that are rebelling against any authority, children against parents and parents against the authorities that are. And you know what, folks? We've got to be very careful as people of God that we don't get caught up into that spirit. Yes. Because that's not the spirit of Christ, amen? God is a God of order. I'm not saying that we have to accept every evil thing that the government throws at us. If it violates the will of God, amen, the word of God, then that's where we draw the line and say, not stepping over that one. And don't even have to apologize for it. But the power has to be submitted, amen, to God's government, to His order. And folks, when we prove to the Lord that we're going to be responsible, we're going to be faithful in what He entrusts to us, then He can increase the level of influence and authority and anointing in your life. Amen. When I was a new Christian, I wanted everything. How many have ever prayed, God, I want everything you have for me? God will give you what you're able to handle. But then there will be an increase as you prove faithful to that. Some people just want God's power because they want to make themselves look good. Moving right along. Chaos results when people refuse to obey the rule of law. Wasn't it Lucifer himself that exalted himself? He said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High.
Right.
Rebellion, amen? Is it 2 Samuel 15 it says rebellion, or 1 Samuel 15 is as a sin of witchcraft? Rebellion to God. We have to be very careful. We need to examine our motives. We need to examine and ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Is this my agenda? You see, we can do a lot of good things, but they can be wrong. We need to do the right things, not just good things. Sometimes the enemy will tempt you. Most of the time, he tempts you with good things. He tempts you with good opportunities. This has got to be God. It's just such a great opportunity. Well, what's wrong with commanding these stones to be made bread? Aren't you hungry? It's not a bad thing, man. A guy's starving. It's who was offering the assistance. It was who was offering the blessing. Oh, be very careful. Sometimes the enemy will set you up. And sometimes God will allow that as a test to see if you will listen to Him. Even when your flesh is saying, oh, but I want it so bad. Are we willing to say no? Even to something that appears to be a great blessing. Because we've taken the time to find out whether or not it was from God or not. I hope this stimulates you to think beyond just everything black and white. Because the enemy presents himself as an angel of light, as a good thing. How many people are dying from AIDS because of a good thing? What appeared to be good. In Christ, we are under a new rule. Amen? It's the rule of the law of the Spirit. It's a relationship. We get to walk with Him. We don't have to sit down and memorize a whole list of rules of do's and don'ts and hope I don't break one, because if I do, I'm condemned. It's now I walk with Him in fellowship. I walk with him in a relationship now. And he speaks to my heart. He tells us, come on, watch out. I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to go there. I didn't tell you to say that. We've got to listen. Ephesians 4 and 11. Here we see the government of God in the church. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the what? Building up or edifying of the body of Christ. There is no such thing, I want you to hear this today, as a lone ranger in the kingdom. There are many lone rangers in the kingdom, folks. That is not God's way. It's not His order. The enemy wants you to be independent of the body. The enemy wants you to go and do your own thing. And it can be a good thing. There are people doing good things, but it's not the right thing. Somebody told me, I don't know, you hear statistics and they conflict with others, but there's as many as 2,000 denominations. 2,000. What's up with that? I think somewhere we get off track. I think everybody has to be very careful that we don't get off on our own agenda. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll go start my own ministry. Well, you can do that. God gives you a free choice. Free, you know. You're just not going to have His favor, that's all. You're going to have limited success unless you come under order to His purpose. Amen? I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and I know all about rebellion. And most of us here probably have been greatly influenced by it, whether we know it or not. Anti this, anti that. Tune out. The government this, the government that. Sometimes, folks, you just need to go along with what the government says. As long as it's not violating Scripture, you may not agree with it. But if it doesn't violate the Word of God, you need to obey the laws of the land. Period. Well, I don't like wearing a seatbelt. Well, is it in violation of the Scripture? It is if you don't wear one. Why? Because that's the law of the land. You see, rebellion is very subtle. And in a lot of ways, we are rebelling and not even realizing it. Now, I'm not talking about legalism either. Getting caught up into this bondage thing where you're splitting theological hairs, or you're, you know, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel, and as the Pharisees did. But we need to understand something. In order for you and I to function in legitimate authority, we must be under authority.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
In order for you and I to bear fruit for the glory of God, we must be under submission to Him.
Yes.
Even when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
What is the Lord saying? What is the Father revealing? What is He telling you to say? What is He showing you to do? Jesus only did what He saw His Father do. He only spoke what He heard Him say. It's God, folks, who gives us our assignment. Not we ourselves. It's God who calls us, not we ourselves. I think I'll call myself to this ministry because I happen to like the weather over there better. Well, I think I'll call myself over to this church because they say things that I like to hear. I'm going to go to that church because they always agree with me. Be careful that you don't get caught up into that thing of looking for people that will agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've tried to talk with people or counsel with people, and I knew what I was saying at times was from the Holy Spirit. It was from God. It was something that works. I knew it was going to work for them, but it wasn't what they wanted to hear. So they say, well, I'll find somebody else. And they go through counselor to counselor until they find somebody finally that tells them what they wanted to hear anyways.
Yeah.
They simply wanted somebody to agree with them.
Yeah.
In other words, they're rebelling against the Spirit of the Lord. And then they wonder why their life doesn't work out. How come I'm not getting better? God gets blamed for so much that we do. It's our own fault because we're not listening. God gets blamed for things that other people do out of a free choice. God gave freedom of choice. And I'm not talking about abortion this morning either. We know that's a violation of the word of the Lord.
Amen.
That's murder. But free choice means that we have a free will. Aren't you glad we have a free will? I like to be able to make decisions for myself. I like to be able to say, I want to do that. And you know what? The Father is good to us. He gives you grace. He gives you the ability to do what you want to do. He's not going to force you to do anything. He's going to warn you when you get off course because there are consequences for everything you do. But He won't force you. How many know you can't force anybody to be righteous? I'm all for laws, amen, that are righteous laws. But how many know that if a person's rebellious in their heart, in most cases they're not going to listen to them anyways? What America needs is an awakening. We need revival, amen, coast to coast. We need repentance. Thank God for those involved in politics, and we need to be. We need to do our part. But it's up to you and I as the church to keep ourselves under His authority, amen?
Yes.
And do the right thing. Because you and I are the salt. We are the light. He didn't say the unbeliever is going to be the salt and the light, amen? He says you are. You are the ones that are going to influence change. You are the world changers. Because there is greatness inside of you through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I was praying for a young man out at the park the other night, and he's just a little tiny guy, about this big. And I said, you know what? You may be small in stature, but there's a giant on the inside of you. Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Enoch. You know, sometimes it's those little grandmothers, man, that mess the devil up the most. No, boy, they're up. They're out of bed. Now, here's the example. We're talking about government. The kingdom of God is a government. We are citizens of that government. We have a head, amen?
Yes.
Jesus Christ is head of the church. In the army, you have, first of all, your commander-in-chief. You know who that is. You have the governmental chain of command with delegated authority. Starts out with your top generals. Correct me if I get off track, brother. Because this guy knows military. He's been many years. I did 9 years myself. So I got a little bit of an understanding. You got your top generals, and then you have your colonels and your majors and your captains and on down the chain to lieutenants, and then you have your non-commissioned officers and starting up with command sergeant major on down to private. And everyone has been given a uniform. This uniform speaks and identifies us with a certain group. Amen? A certain unit, as we say in the army. We wear the United States, the uniform of the United States. Amen?
Amen?
Identifying us as a citizen of this kingdom, representing that government. And so, the reason why I'm going to point out some of these things is because there are parallels in the Spirit. And I want us to understand this, that in order for an army to be effective Every member needs to understand their purpose, their place, their job assignment. Amen. There are standard operating procedures, SOPs. Amen. We have the Word of God. Amen. Basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. Amen. We need to know who we are. We need to know that we're in our unit. Cliff, has it ever been possible for you to say, you know, I really don't like this unit? Cliff was a 20-year man. And said, I think I'll just join another unit. You ain't leaving that unit. You ain't leaving that unit until you get your orders, amen, from up top. Why is it that we in the kingdom think that we can just do what we want, when we want, how we want, just because we feel like doing it that way? Mm-mm. The reason why there's so much dysfunction in so many believers today is that they are just taking things into their own hands, and they're stepping out on their own. And even though the Lord may be warning them, they're disregarding that because they think they have a better idea. You don't leave a church because you don't like the way they did something. You leave the church because God tells you you're going here now.
Yes.
And leave with a blessing.
Yes.
In order for you and I to discover who we are, we need trainers. Amen? We need drill sergeants. We need people that will teach us how to be a soldier, that will train us in the use of our weapons. We need teachers. Amen?
Amen.
God has placed somewhat teachers in the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints, for the building up of the body. Amen? For equipping. We need to be instructed. We need to listen for the voice of the Lord to say, your orders have been cut. You are being reassigned now. It's time for you to move on. Whenever a person leaves their assignment, it's no different than any company. Amen? There's times when it makes it very difficult for the company to function because somebody either had died or was killed in combat or had been reassigned without a replacement. And now you're struggling to try to make things work. To pull together. People need to take up more than their share. If everyone would find out who they are, what their assignment is, and be about the business of God as a team, being part of something bigger than ourselves, oh, much bigger than ourselves, then corporately, we have effectiveness in destroying the works of the devil. God has called us to destroy the works of the enemy. He has already overcome. He has given you and I the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the truth. This is a battle of truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth will release the POWs. Set the captives free. There are supply rooms. How many know God has a divine supply room? My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. It's where you're able to receive your personal equipment. There are mess halls in the army where we feed and refresh the soldiers. How many know God has given us access to Himself? He said, eat and drink me. I am your life. I am your bread. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. We feed on the Word of God. It is our bread. And communication. I was in communication. vital to any success, to any operational success, you must have good communication. You must, that left hand needs to know what the right hand is doing. Amen? The soldier on the field needs to know what's happening. And the commanders on the field need to be in contact, amen, with the higher up, so they can get their assignment and they can reassign and they can delegate authority down the chain so that everything comes into its order, everything works according to the plan. An army, the reason why many armies fail is because there's a lack of communication, because there's a lack of order, because there's a lack of submission to authority, because many times what happens in the army is people get disgruntled. They don't like the treatment. They don't like the chow. They don't like the conditions. And so they begin to complain. And complaining begets more complaining, and before long, everybody's complaining, and it's just miserable to be in a place where everybody's disgruntled. And the commanders hate it because it begins to compromise their operational readiness and security. How many are seeing a picture here? We are the army of God. We have a commander-in-chief. He has delegated authority. He has placed certain people within the church, but all of us have been called and given an assignment to advance the kingdom of God on the earth. Each one of us needs to understand their job description, who they are in Christ, and be busy in that assignment for God. If the church would simply wake up and do what it's called to do, folks, the harvest would come in. The reason why America is where it's at is because the church has been sleeping. There should be more amens than that. That's true, isn't it? A soldier is trained to use his weapons. There's powerful weapons. You know, these guys that are running or driving around in these M1 tanks, these are powerful machines. How many know that they need to know how to use that thing? Amen? To be effective and not make a mess of things in the wrong way. How many know that in communication, folks, God has given us His Holy Spirit? He's given us the Spirit of truth. So we may know the mind and the heart of the Father. So we may know what's freely given to us. We may know who we are. We may know what we're called to do. We may discover, hallelujah, the riches of the kingdom and our inheritance in Him. I'm just thankful, hallelujah, that I get to be a part of the kingdom of God. I'm just thankful that I'm part of something that's bigger than me. I realize, folks, that even as a pastor, it's necessary that all of us come together. Amen? Am I right, Brother Bill? Bill's a pastor. You just can't do what you need to do for Christ independent of your people. We're working together. We're simply on assignment. We've been given delegated authority by the Father, amen, and given a responsibility, and we're going to answer to Him for what we've done. And so will everybody. Every one of us will answer for what we have done with what we had received. There's coming a day when the Lord is going to say, "What did you do with what I gave you?" Jesus Christ shed His blood. He died a cruel death on the cross. Amen? He gave His life away for people like you and I. For God so loved the world. That God loved us that much. He gave Himself away. And now He's saying, now you go and you give yourself away. So that others may come in. So that others may be saved and escape the wrath of God. You've got your Marines. They're the first ones in. Kind of look at them as apostolic ministry. They establish beachheads. They plant churches. They go into places often where the gospel's never been preached. They father churches. Then you have your scouts. This just kept coming, man. Let's spy out the enemy's position. Amen? They look at the enemy's capabilities, their activities, and they report back to headquarters. How many know that God is also placed within the body prophets? Seers. People that are out, that have their eyes open, that are watching and seeing what's going on in the invisible realm. Then we have the couriers, the communication people. I don't know if they still do that, but I know when I was in, we still had couriers that ran from unit to unit. And they herald the reports from camp to camp. I kind of look at this as an evangelist. Then you have your special forces. They usually operate in a number of different giftings. But listen, the special forces, they blend in with the population. They have a unique assignment. And sometimes it's hard to understand them because the way they approach it may not be what we're traditionally used to. And so sometimes it's kind of like at first you're like, well, what's this? You know? How many know that you and I need to understand our culture? We need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to understand who our audience is. And how many know that it's probably not a wise idea to wear a suit and tie and go down to minister in the park? And you say, how does this guy even know anything about me? Yeah. Even sometimes the terminology that we use, they don't go out there and say, I'm special forces and I'm here to get information and, you know, I'm here to influence the population in a good way. I'm here, you know, on a special assignment. No. They come in, they become like the people, they blend in, they dress like them, they talk like them if possible, they learn the language, they have a unique assignment. And then you have your rear echelon units. Are you guys enjoying this? Or are you about ready to get out of here? I'm having fun. And these are the people that support the troops on the line, amen, the frontline troops. And I kind of look at these people as your intercessors, as your givers. How about your field hospital workers, the people with the gift of mercy? There are those pastoral who are into just, you know, helping and to mending into people with a gift of mercy will really be able to empathize and feel the deep hurts of others more readily. Amen. A prophet will operate in their anointing, but they're very black and white usually. Turn or burn. But a person with mercy is like, are you okay? But do you see how everybody has their place? Everything needs to be in its order. And I already talked about this, but camaraderie is so important to operational effectiveness. That we're together, we're unified, we understand, you know, why we exist, where we're going, and we have an assignment. And everybody's in their place, working as a team to advance the purposes, amen, and the kingdom of God on the earth. And so it's not a matter of, I think I'll do this next Sunday. I think I'll do this tomorrow. It's a matter of, Papa, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? What is my purpose? How do I fit into the body of Christ? How can I be a blessing? How can I help nourish and strengthen my brothers and sisters? What happens if you have an army of people, or even a unit of people, that all they're concerned about is their needs? Can I suggest to you that there are many churches that are just like that? They're full of people where they're parting the mustache and putting in the bottle. It's time to grow up. It's time to get up, amen, and move out for God.
Amen.
There's a time of healing. There's a time of comfort. There's a time of mercy. Amen? But folks, we cannot live and operate continually in that place. As a matter of fact, some people don't want to be out of that place because they're craving the attention they're getting, and it's selfishness, and selfishness hurts. It robs people. We are to be givers. We are to serve and not be served. There's times when I've needed people to pray for me. There's times that I've needed somebody to talk to. I totally endorse it. We need that at times. But folks, there's a time when we just got to get over it. Are you with me? If you keep dwelling on your problems, they'll keep magnifying. We need to dwell on Him who is the solution. Each soldier was required to go before a board. Are you with me? Before he or she could be promoted. No soldier has the authority to promote himself. But yet people do. Right? It is God who appoints, who calls, who equips, who promotes. It is not what we give ourselves. It's not even the grace we give ourselves. It's the grace we receive from Him that enables us. When we have received the power of God and we keep that power, amen, under submission to His authority. It's called humility. A horse is a powerful animal, but a horse can be very dangerous and unruly if it's not trained, if it's not broken. But what a blessing it is when it's brought under submission. Even though that thing could stomp you or throw you, it's strength under control. That's humility. So even though you may have, and you do have, gifts, you have grace, you have been enabled by God, you've been given ability by God, we need to place that, amen, in ourselves under submission to Him.
Yes. Amen.
And under the people that He has appointed for us in our life. And I'm not just talking about me today, folks. I'm talking about in everything in life it's that way. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Amen. Whether it's your parents, your teachers, the police, the government, we need to be under authority to have legitimate authority. People want to operate in power and in gifts. And they want authority, but they're unwilling to come under authority. And that is a problem. That's when they become dangerous. They become loose cannons, as we say. There has to be proper, legitimate authority in our lives, folks. Every one of us is under authority. It's your choice in an act of your will to either receive what God has called you to or reject it. But if you want to be prospered, if you want the favor of God, you want the blessing of God on your life, you've got to come under authority. Are you with me? Aren't you glad that the Lord is not a hard taskmaster? I know some men will go home to their wives and say, "You need to submit to me." That's not God. Your wife is your partner in life. You are joint heirs together. You love your wife. You honor and you respect your wife as well, and she will honor and respect you in most cases. I know my wife does, but I can't speak for everybody. So you need to know who you are. You need to know what your weapons are. How many know what your weapons are in the Lord? The power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. It's a battle of truth. What the devil doesn't want you to get is the truth. He doesn't want you to know what's really real because he wants to keep you in delusion and deception. Once you know the truth, there's no place for him to hide anymore. Once the light comes on, the darkness is gone. It has to go. Unless you want to give it access, it's up to you. Folks, please hear this today. Let this not be just another message. And we say, oh, that was a good message. And then we go home and we forget all about it. The most important words that our Lord spoke to us are from Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus said, all authority, not some, all authority is given to me in heaven and on the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, of hell, and of death. Matthew 6:13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. If we've received anything, it was delegated from him. And whenever God invests in our lives, there is a responsibility. Are we being obedient today to the great commission of our Lord? This is what we need to ask ourselves. Am I obedient to the command of my Lord as a part of His army, a part of His team, a part of something bigger than myself? Am I doing my assignment? And I'm functioning in the place that God has placed me. Am I being effective? How many of you know that if you're in your assignment and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you will be effective? It's not an if, you will be effective. There's nothing more important, folks, than what we pray and seek the face of God and ask God to reveal to us, Lord, where do I fit? Where do I belong? What am I supposed to be doing? How can I be a part of your body? Where do I fit into your body? And if we would all do that, and we would be faithful to our individual assignments as part of a whole, folks, the work's going to get done. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world. And then the end will come. Jesus is coming. He's coming. It's time to rise. Would you stand up this morning? God bless you for coming.